The news continues to happen, and the Shannon and Schrader podcast is here to decipher the madness, to make sense of what's real and what's propaganda, and to give you our point of view. Now, here's Steve and Shannon.
Well, good afternoon, Shannon. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Well, you know, we're keeping it together here on this.
It's humid in here today.
Well, it's humid. That's better than freezing, right?
Yeah. Yesterday it was freezing. Today it's humid.
And just forewarning, woke up not in the greatest of moods today. And I think it's really because we look.
I would call that crabby.
Yeah. But it's really. The world is so stupid right now, right? And like Roseanne Barr said last week, people have lost their minds, okay? And you just see stupidity everywhere,
uh-huh.
Right? I mean, we saw great examples of it in their, yeah, whatever. But anyway, we're surrounded by, Shannon and I are surrounded by morons. That's the bottom line.
It kind of seems like it sometimes.
Yes. So, but we're here, and we'll give it the old college try to be chipper for you.
I'm always chipper.
You're always chipper. You are the barometer of good. Me, not so much. Some days, I'm more of a Rottweiler looking to bite.
He tries to bring me down, but it doesn't work.
It's just, you see the murder video with that truck yesterday,
mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of stuff that... Because, again, Joe Sixpack, and again, I'm not talking about the listeners of talk radio. I'm talking about the listeners of just, you know, garbage in, garbage out, right? Listening to, you know, pop stations and all that kind of crap. And that's fine if you're into that. But you don't know what's going on because you're not seeing it on the TV. I have not seen one thing on the TV on that murder in Fayetteville, Indiana. Have you?
No. Oh, there's a lot of things that I see on social media and on other things that aren't shown on the actual news.
Right.
So and I see that like all the time. And I, you know what's weird is I'm always watching it before I go to bed, so I wake up like, oh God, here we go again.
Well, and this is one of those jobs that you got to get away from once in a while.
Yeah, but I just don't.
I don't either, and that's part of the problem, right? At least for me, I need to get away from it once in a while. But one of the things that frustrates you is you look at it, and we obviously wish we had a daily show because a lot of the things that we're covering in the podcast. You know, we would hear later on in the day with Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins and go, hey, well, we were ahead on that, you know?
Yeah, that happens all the time. It's like, we'll do this podcast and then all day long I'm hearing the exact same things we talked about on other shows. I'm like, why are we not on every day? We should work on that.
Yeah, we really should. And you know what? I got to tell you, the reason we do this podcast, certainly it's not for the money.
It's because I see so much stuff that has to be told.
Well, again, and look.
Or I'll explode.
We do it because these are the stories you're not seeing.
Yeah.
And these are more important stories, quite frankly. And I can say that because of the fact that, again, the violence that we're seeing all over the country, and now close to home with that murder video yesterday. It's hard to be in a good mood sometimes, but on a lighter side, so UConn won the national championship basketball. This is like the first year I didn't watch hardly any of it.
I didn't
and
watch
you know why I didn't.
Any at all.
I can tell you exactly why I didn't. First of all, CBS and their infinite wisdom. Yeah. And TBS and TNT, all liberal sources, their ad for it. Like their ad promoting March Madness.
Yeah.
Was so pathetic that I just couldn't watch it. You know what I mean? It was like they were trying to send, hey, we're woke. Let's all be woke and watch basketball. No, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't even see the ad for it because.
Well, and it, you know, it's people dancing and, you know. Okay. Yeah, it's whatever, you know, if you're into that sort of thing. But we like a UConn player, don't we? Donovan Klingon?
Yes. Yes, we do.
So your president, not mine.
Not mine.
Brandon, he invited UConn to the White House. And, well, what happened, Shannon?
Well, according to this player, what was his name again?
The one Donovan Klingon. It's C-L-I-N-G-A-N.
Yeah, he said that he came in, took a picture with the team, gave like a 3-minute quick speech, which you couldn't understand a word of, and then forgot that he already took a picture with the team and asked for another picture with the team.
And a friend asked Donovan, what did he say in those 3 minutes? And Donovan said, I really couldn't understand what he was saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, the incompetent in chief.
It's wow. It's like, can it get any more embarrassing? I don't think so.
The incompetent in chief. Here he was yesterday. Now, this is great. He's in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And they took a picture of it. You got to see this picture. Imagine the largest room in your, like if you work in an office, mm-hmm. imagine the largest conference room in your office. That's where Brandon was. Not like, you know, here at the KI Center or whatever when Trump was there. So there's literally room for about 30 people, of which about 4 decide to show up.
And they were probably, you know.
And then it's media.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is the town hall. And this is what they got, though. This is some profound stuff here.
One day I showed up at all for your convention, and I was in the motel after the local motel getting changed after the afternoon session, go back to the evening session. I'd come down with some young activists, a little older than me, but still young activists, who were involved in trying to reform the party. And I was in one of those 8x10 bathrooms, you know, they have shower, toilet, and a sink. And I got a towel on me and shaving cream, and I hear bam, bam, bam at my door really loudly. And I wonder, what the hell is that? I thought it was this guy, Bob Cunningham, on a radio show, and a couple other guys. So I said, okay, guys. And I walked to the door and opened it up, and standing there was the former governor of the state of Delaware, Albert N. Carville, a big guy, about 6'5", talked at you like this. And the state representative who got defeated 4 years earlier as a Democratic state rep who was retired. And one of the, from the family that had more senators appointed than any other family in American history to the tunnels, and a former retired justice. And the state chairman.
So in other
words,
you're bragging about how corrupt they are?
I'm standing in a towel and shaving cream in my face.
That's why you want to be the president of the 20th century?
Well, and that's, I mean, there was a lot of gibberish that he had at that speech. So many that I didn't send them to you because it was like really.
Well, yeah,
what?
I mean.
I bet you the whole speech is all clips of gibberish because there was a lot of them.
Yeah. Joel, how was your time in the Senate? Rutabaga.
It's basically that, yeah.
And by the way, Mr. Peace himself, Mr. Peace and Prosperity, everybody's broke. You've got violence across the country that people don't really, they're not aware of. And this is what you get from Brandon. And I have a feeling that, you know, the mullahs in Iran, they're not real scared of the incompetent in chief.
And I wonder, Mr. President, what you would say to him if he is considering using chemical or tactical nuclear weapons.
This is to Putin in 2022.
Don't. And I wonder what is your message
last year to Hezbollah
and its backer, Iran.
Don't.
So is that all? Now, again, to be fair, don't could be the only word in the English language he remembers.
Yeah, it is because he's, well, that was 2022, 2023, and now we just said it in 2024, which we probably have that right here. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love Greg Price. I literally can't believe that a senile old fart yelling don't at an Ayatollah didn't stop Iran from launching an attack on Israel. Here is Brandon again. This was last week, or now the 13th.
Iran right now. Mr. President, what is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't.
Or else are American personnel in assets at risk, Mr. President?
You know, it's pretty sad when what's his face? Carhartt himself, John Fetterman, makes more sense than Brandon.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And I can't believe, I saw a Biden-Harris sign in De Pere.
You did?
Yeah, right on Webster.
Oof.
Like, how stupid are you?
That just, yeah, it's like putting a sign in front of your house that says, I'm stupid.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they made those.
Well, and, oh, shocker, this out of the Gateway Pundit. You know those pro-Hamas nut jobs that block traffic in Chicago? Guess who's paying the bill? You guessed it. The owner of 230 radio stations. I love to remind everybody of that. George Soros. What do you think of that, Shannon? That out of the Gateway Pundit. The headline, surprise, pro-Hamas roadblockers being bailed out by organizations funded by George Soros, according to the Washington Free Beacon.
Well, it's a lot like Black Lives Matter, you know.
And then, yeah, and get this. There's an NGO. This is great. RCM, which, by the way, Alejandro Mayorkas is a board member of this organization that's advising illegal aliens to vote for Joe Biden because he really needs four more years. And to the absolute scum of the earth, Mike Gallagher, who apparently is out in front of Congress whining about death threats. You know what? Move to an island, Mike. That's about where people want you. They don't want you in Green Bay. You couldn't even do town halls in Green Bay when you were a congressman without getting your ass kicked. You had to pre-select the crowds. Ugh, what a scumbag. I mean, I can't even believe the guy leaves Congress and then he goes to testify in front of Congress a week later.
Well, I think he's talking about why he's leaving. I don't know. Well, it's when is the 19th? It's coming up.
You know
is
what?
It today?
He left the 9th.
Oh.
Not the 19th. He left the 9th.
Yeah.
No. Maybe he should move to Guyana.
No, he's waiting for the 19th to leave because if he would have left on the 9th.
No, if he would have left before April 9th, then there would have been a special election. He left after that date.
Hmm.
Remember, we covered it. It was, we covered it the day of. No, I mean.
No, but he said he was going to go after the 19th.
He's a pathetic scumbag that never should have been elected. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, I didn't elect him. Did you?
No. I didn't vote for him the last two times. I can't say that. I know the last time I didn't, I voted for Jake Vandenplas.
I saw Mike Gallagher at an event once, and everybody there was taking pictures with people, and he would not take a picture with me, and ever since then, I didn't. That was before I don't think he was even elected to anything. He was just campaigning.
Yeah.
And
well,
I was like, wow, what's up with that guy?
Well, he was useless right from the start, but we all lied to ourselves and said, oh, when it really counts, he's going to step up. Yeah. How'd that work out?
I didn't say that.
No, I didn't either. I didn't either. It's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So, well, let's talk about the impartial jury. I'm sure Donald Trump's going to get in New York.
Yeah, he's not going to get an impartial jury anywhere. I mean, who hasn't heard about that case? But New York is going to be a lot worse. But I mean, come on.
Boy, and they really selected some good ones in the first seven, didn't they?
No.
Unbelievable. There is absolutely no law and order in this country whatsoever. Senators are being sworn in for the Mayorkas impeachment trial. So, Mike, your vote of conscience did no good, just like your rest of your career. Here's Jesse Waters talking about these jurors in the Trump case.
Over half of the jury's already been selected. We already know a lot about them, and it is hysterical. Before we tell you about them, remember that this is a Manhattan jury. It went 87% for Biden. And the judge who's overseeing the selection process is a Biden donor whose family was paid by the Biden campaign. Yesterday, 50 white women wearing masks fled the courtroom, claiming they couldn't be fair to Trump. Anyone wearing a mask at this point is not an impartial juror. Here's one white woman who works in cybersecurity who was excused. Listen.
Did you say you could be unbiased, though?
I did. It's very difficult for anyone really in this country to not come to this with prior opinions. I think we all have prior opinions about the defendant unless you've been like living in a cardboard box.
Show me a juror who says they can be unbiased towards Trump and I'll show you a liar. That's why we don't have political trials in America. Fairness is impossible. Trump's legal team was given the names of potential jurors and after Googling them, discovered there were undercover activists trying to sneak onto the jury. One juror couldn't recall any anti-Trump feeling, but when the defense showed him the receipts, he admitted he'd posted on social media, quote, Donald Trump should be locked up. Another juror said he didn't remember posting anything bad about Trump, and then when shown the evidence, conceded to posting a picture that says, quote, Trump invites Thai boys to the White House. Thai boys request to return to cage.
What are Thai boys? I don't even know what that means.
I was thinking kids from Thailand.
Well, that's, yeah.
I was like, oh.
That's awesome. I was thinking kids from Thailand. That's about what I was thinking, too. This is Jesse Waters last night. Back to him.
Those two radical liberals got caught lying to the court and were almost seated on the jury. This is what Trump has to deal with. Yesterday, Clay Travis was criticized for suggesting Trump supporters get on the jury. So far, seven jurors have been seated. Here's what we know about them. The foreman, juror number one. He's a salesman from Harlem who was born in Ireland. He used to be a waiter, didn't finish college, and likes anything outdoorsy. He's married with no kids. His wife's in school. He gets his news from the New York Times, the Daily Mail, and some Fox News and MSNBC. Never met anybody who watches both Fox and MSNBC, but okay. That guy's your jury foreman. Juror number two, a nurse from the Upper East Side with a master's degree. She's not married, has no kids, and lives with her fiance, who works in finance. She gets her news from the New York Times, Google, and CNN. She said two things that really stuck out. One, quote, I don't really have an opinion of Trump. And, quote, no one is above the law. I'm not so sure about Jaron.
So have you ever met someone that didn't have an opinion? Because you know what you've got there?
No.
Someone stupid. You know what I mean? Like, you either have an, like, everybody has an opinion.
Correct.
So this nurse who gets her news from the New York Times and Google has
and then,
no opinion of Trump.
Okay, no one is above the law. Where do you hear that all the time? On CNN?
Right, exactly. Exactly. This is the disgrace this country has become.
Number two. Juror number three is a young Asian lawyer from Oregon. His corporate law firm features DEI on its homepage. He's single, lives in Chelsea, and was wearing a purple jacket. Okay? He claims he's not super familiar with Trump's other charges. He likes to hike and run and gets his news from the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Google. Juror number four is a Puerto Rican who finds Trump fascinating and mysterious. Quote, he walks into a room and he sets people off one way or the other. I find that really interesting, that this one guy can do all this. Wow. The guy was actually born in Puerto Rico, lives on the Lower East Side now, and works in IT. He's married and he has grandkids. Wife's a writer. Previously served on a jury, but says he doesn't remember the verdict. He gets his news from the New York Daily News, the New York Times, and Google. Anyway, juror number five, a black woman in her 20s who doesn't follow the news and didn't know Trump was facing charges, anywhere. She lives in Harlem. She's a teacher. She's not married, has no kids, and lives with her brother, who's a basketball coach. She gets her news from Google and TikTok. She also listens to Charlemagne the God. Juror number six is a woman in her 20s who works for Disney. She made the courtroom laugh because she wanted to know if the trial would be over before September because she's a bridesmaid in her sister's wedding.
Good thing she's got her priorities straight.
Yeah.
Oh, well, is this circus going to... Actually, see, this is what I would have said. Is this circus going to be done by September? Because I'm not missing a wedding for this garbage. But that's why I would be dismissed from the juror pool.
She's not married, has no kids, and likes to dance. She lives with three roommates and gets her news from the New York Times, Google, Facebook, and of course TikTok. And says she doesn't have strong feelings about Trump one way or the other. Okay. Juror number seven is a middle-aged, balding white guy with a tan. He lives on the Upper East Side, and you guessed it, another lawyer whose firm is big into DEI and ESG. He's originally from North Carolina, married with two kids, and his wife works at a bank. He gets his news from the New York Times, the Journal, the New York Post, the Washington Post, and he listens to NPR.
Oh!
So that's the jury of Trump's peers so far. The fate of a billionaire real estate tycoon, TV celebrity turned 45th president of the United States is in the hands of New York City lawyers, teachers, and Disney workers who like to dance and get their news from the Times, but swear they can be impartial.
This is why our founders gave the president such leniency, is because they knew a time like this would come. They did. Because it is the history of all representative republics that they fail. And if we don't correct course, we will fail as well. And we will go into 1,000 years of misery, just like the Middle Ages. People need to get it.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys get it. And I'm referring to the listeners because you're taking time out of your busy schedule, and we appreciate it, to listen to us.
Yeah.
That is the highest honor we could get from anybody.
Right. The other day I was doing my taxes, and all of a sudden the local news came on, and they were covering the Trump trial. And I was, like, astonished how upside down and backwards that they were covering, and that was local. I can't even believe it. I'm like, well, no wonder why some people
yeah.
don't think right. Wow.
It seems like the more advanced degrees that people have, it's their lack of intelligence. They can't discern anything. Now, speaking of scumbags, Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, you know, the creator of the phony pee-pee tape hoax with Hillary Clinton. Yeah, that Jake Sullivan. Last year, September 29th, 2023, he had the chutzpah.
6 months ago.
Yeah. The ignorance, the chutzpah, to say this.
The Iranian attacks against U.S. forces have stopped. Our presence in Iraq is stable. I emphasize for now because all of that can change. And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
No, the Middle East was quieter under Donald Trump. We were getting out of Afghanistan with honor. We were getting out of Afghanistan. Of course, as Barack Obama told us, don't underestimate Joe Biden's ability to F stuff up. Remember that prior to 2020?
Yep.
Unbelievable. This is how upside down the world is. John Fetterman makes some sense, not all sense, because, of course, Brandon's doing a great job in his mind, but he was on with the...
I think he has to say that.
Yeah. He was on State of the Disunion with Jake Tapper on Sunday.
Joining us now to discuss, Democratic Senator John Fetterman from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Senator, what is your reaction to Iran's attack on Israel, and how worried are you that this is the beginning of an open war between the two countries?
Well, a couple of things, actually. I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And second, I think that also was Iran had to have some fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general. And I'm here for that.
He put his thumbs up. I love it.
It's just a matter of theater, part of it as well, too. And it demonstrates how unstable things are and why we need to lean in and stand with Israel.
How do you think Israel should respond? Should Israel strike within Iranian territory, or are you concerned that that might only escalate matters further?
Well, I'm not going to suggest what Israel should or shouldn't do on that. But I also do think that Iran is pleased with, they have enough of money on the table with all of its proxies all around in the region as well, too. And Iran certainly can't take on Israel, and certainly not us. So I think they would just like to keep things as they go. And then after they made a point back, I think they could go pretty quiet and go back to just using their proxies.
A senior administration official tells CNN that President Biden told Prime Minister Netanyahu that the U.S. will not participate in any offensive operations against Iran. Do you think that's the right call, or should direct U.S. military action, as some of your colleagues in the Senate are suggesting, should that be on the table?
I don't agree with that, I just think we should follow and have Israel's back in the situation. I don't agree with the president. That doesn't change anything that he's a fantastic president, and I'm proud to stand with him and campaign for him and vote for him.
Do you really think he is? I don't think so. Well, first of all, of course, Jake Tapper being he's a journalist. He couldn't show any emotion when John Fetterman talked about an Iranian general being smoked. Smoked was killed, by the way, which John Fetterman was celebrating, as I am. First of all, we've been at war with Iran for 40 years, right? I mean, the Iran hostage thing happened during the Carter administration. Why did the hostages come home? Because Reagan was going to bomb the hell out of Iran. That's why. Period. I mean, Iran has been at war with us for 40 years. It's about time for us to get into the game and understand most of our soldiers that were killed in Iraq or Afghanistan were killed by the mullahs in Iran because they financed the insurrection. We've been at war with Iran for 40 years. Now, I'm not saying we send troops into Iran. Hopefully, Bibi will turn it into a big glass parking lot. We won't have to worry about it. But again, I think we should look. Dershowitz said it best yesterday. The Democrats are the pro-terrorist, pro-Hamas party, period. When you got Alan Dershowitz saying it, you might want to listen to it because he's a liberal icon.
Yes, he is. Surprised more Democrats aren't saying that.
Just the smart ones. Here's back to Tapper and Fetterman.
Marco Rubio was just on the show, and he said the White House leaking the fact that Biden told Netanyahu not to directly respond, to take the win, quote unquote.
Take the win? You know what he's referring to? He's referring to the fact that they knocked down 99% of Iran's attack. Well, guess what? How would we feel if we were attacked and 1% got through? Bibi is going to tell Biden what he can kiss, and that's a good thing.
Was offensive to him because it seemed to suggest that it's Biden trying to appease the far left in his party. What's your response?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the president is entitled to his own views and whatever he decides to do. But I would never capitulate to the fringe. I'll never pander to that as well. In fact, that helps, that empowers Hamas. And Hamas is, they're actually convinced that they are winning the PR war, and they're never going to negotiate at this point. They think that they're going to hold on to the very end. And I know why they're not willing to provide any kind of proof of life. And I don't know why there's not more of that conversation in the media. Like, what about the hostages? What's happened to them? Where are they now? And let's just bring them home.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of the harsh words should be directed at Hamas, which started this and now continues to hold all of over 100 Israeli hostages.
You know, it's pretty sad when you have to end with... Well, almost end with John Fetterman, because he's made more sense than anybody else this morning.
Yeah, he's been making a lot of sense lately.
Still a snappy dress. I mean, have some pride in yourself, right? Like, he wears it, you know, that's his thing, to wear Carhartts. I get it. Okay, we all get it, John. But you look like crap. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Now, for those of you who feel you may be injured by taking the COVID-19 vax, we've got Dr. Peter McCullough. Hopefully the censors don't pull this out, but we've got Dr. Peter McCullough.
Oh, they probably will.
Oh, they probably will. But Dr. Peter McCullough has the McCullough Protocol, and it's all natural products, including nicotine, by the way. Which, Shannon, you've been saying for a long time, nicotine is actually a good thing when it comes to the COVID-19 jab or getting over it. Here is what Dr. Peter McCullough had to say yesterday on the McCullough Protocol. And let me remind the censors, Dr. McCullough, internationally known physician, so think about it before you pull it.
Many patients ask Dr. McCullough, listen, I made a mistake. What can I do to try to reduce my risks of vaccine spike protein damage in the human body? Many different approaches have been tried. And what we found is that symptoms can be improved, but the overall disease process is not changed unless we can help the body detoxify from the spike protein. So in two seminal publications, one in the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons, the other one is in the PubMed listed journal, Curious, we have published McCullough Protocol Base Spike Protein Detoxification. And what that involves is the use of oral nattokinase, 2,000 units twice a day starting dose, oral bromelain, 500 milligrams once a day starting dose, complemented by curcumin, 500 milligrams twice a day. And we combine it with piperine, 5 or 10 milligrams to get it to be absorbed. This combination has a sufficient evidence in the peer-reviewed literature on helping the body clear spike protein and reduce the effects of spike protein inflammation. Now, it's a base. It's a starting point. These are low doses. We can increase the doses if they're well tolerated. They're taken in between meals for a maximum effect. We commonly add other drugs. If there's signs of autoimmunity, for instance, we add hydroxychloroquine. If there's signs of persistent infection, we can add ivermectin. If there are significant signs of pleural pericardial problems, we can add colchicine, brain fog, neurologic symptoms. We can add additional drugs, including a nicotine patch or oral acyclovir, low-dose naltrexone. So treatment of a COVID-19 vaccine injury syndrome starts with the base. And our experience is if we don't address the spike protein, it's not going to get better. Then we add on other drugs. McCullough Protocol Based Spike Protein Detoxification gives the constructive steps, the medicinal agents and the doses, and it gives direction on just how to manage it. Very similar to McCullough Protocol for acute treatment of COVID-19. These have been breakthrough worldwide now. McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification has become the de facto standard.
Amen, Brother McCullough.
Yeah, and it's not like he's some kind of grifter trying to sell you this stuff, because he's been an other interviews where he says, just go to your local health food store and get it.
Right. And you did get it, didn't you?
I did.
We got to figure out
I didn't get vaccinated, but I got a blood transfusion, so I was like, oh, I'm going to get that.
Well, and I've had all kinds of health stuff that the doctors are going, well, we don't know.
Yeah. That's what's happening to me. It's like something's wrong, but
of course,
nobody knows.
My family doctor, I like him, but I think he's a branch COVIDian.
So, your doctor?
Yeah. I mean, because I asked him one time, I'm like, have you seen any of the insurance? Well, we haven't seen too many of that. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, good news. Trump was in Harlem yesterday, and they're loving some DJT. There was a little black boy here in this first video that he starts it off, and it was pretty awesome because mom and dad and everybody else joined in with him. This was in Harlem yesterday when former president visited a bodega.
I love you, Trump!
I love you, Trump!
Actually, it was a little girl.
I love you, Trump!
We love Trump!
We love Trump!
We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love Trump! We love
It was actually a little girl who started it, and then the little boy said it right away.
Bodega that the guy, remember when the guy shot the intruder and he got arrested?
And Bragg arrested him?
Yeah.
Yeah, Trump went to that bodega, and that bodega owner, good for, I hope Trump spent like $1,000 in there.
Oh, he probably did. I'm sure he bought food for everyone.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. So he probably spent
$5,000
in there.
Look at all the people there supporting him.
Exactly.
Compared to who was at Biden's little gibberish speech.
Well, because intelligent people look around and go, okay, this isn't right. We've let in 20 million illegals at the southern border. Gas is twice as expensive as it should be. None of us buy into any of this green garbage. And the people are sick of having their legs peed on and being told it's raining.
Yeah, especially in New York. And he walked up to, I don't have that video on here, but he walks up to the police officers in New York and he tells them he loves them and he grabs them all and he takes a big picture with them. And they're all happy to see him.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you be if you were a police officer in New York?
Oh, absolutely. It's the only respect police officers get is from Trump and from conservatives. Here's another example of Trump outside the bodega, and the Star Spangled Banner started being sung in the background.
Everybody breaks into song.
Which, in New York City, I gotta tell you, it's good to see. You know, I decided a while back, Shannon, you know I decided this because I told you about it at the time. We're going to tell the truth on this podcast.
Did we ever not?
No, but and pretty much in my private life and everything else, I'm going to tell the truth. And if people don't like to hear it, that's okay. I don't care if it gets down to the point to where Shannon and my dog are the only one that like me. I really, as long as I've got the dog and Shannon, I'm fine. You know, as long as you're still behind me and not thinking I'm nuts, I'm fine. But you know what I mean? Like, I think Trump gets energy from that. You know what I mean?
I know he does.
Like, I can't imagine. Like, I try to put myself in Trump's shoes at, like, well, first of all, the guy doesn't sleep.
Well, he just got done at his trial and he went to Harlem.
I know.
He doesn't
the guy's
sleep.
What?
I don't sleep either.
The guy's what, 78 years old and he runs circles around me. Mm-hmm. Absolute circles around me. And he probably runs circles around you, which is not easy.
Yeah.
So, but here's what I picture. They're sitting down at Mar-a-Lago and it's Trump and Melania sitting in front of a fire.
In front of a fire.
I get it's Florida, but sometimes Trump likes to make a fire, okay? It's my story.
Okay. We'll go with that.
And I see Melania looking at him going, why do we, you know, like, we didn't have to put ourselves through this, right? Like, he could have said what I would, quite frankly. If I had Trump's money, I would have said, you guys wrecked the country, not me. I'm out. I'm buying an island somewhere. Bye-bye.
I don't know. I think Melania loves this country just as much as
Well, I think she does, too, and so. I love this country, too. I just look at, I mean, what I'm saying is I think he gets energy from this stuff because,
well, I mean, and now they told him he couldn't go to Barron's graduation, so now someday Barron can be president. Remember that.
Well, you know what? And that's exactly right. I mean, what they've done, they didn't just try to destroy him politically. They're trying to throw him in jail because they don't like his policies and they don't like him. And that's what it comes down to. And it's wrong. And anybody does that doesn't say it's wrong, well, don't say it in front of me. So
they got to be blind.
Exactly. With that, I think we'll wrap it up. We've done enough damage for one day, huh?
I don't think so, but okay.
I thought it was a good podcast. I think I've been chipper enough, right?
Well, you tried.
I tried.
You're a lot less crabby right now than you were before.
I tried. I got to admit, seeing Mike Gallagher on TV is a trigger now.
Yeah, so don't.
I know.
Don't.
He's just not worth it. He's really not worth it. With that, we'll wrap it up for this episode. Remember, folks, freedom can't be centralized. And whether you like it or hate it, in your heart, you know,
we're right.
We'll see you tomorrow. Oh,